podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in and talk about the topic today, I'll get it out. I'm leaving that in. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have a special, quote unquote, special going on right now where we're giving quarterly memberships. We're super excited about that. People seem excited about it. And then that maybe come in and join for 3 months and take a couple months off. I personally would never leave teachhoops.com, but you have that option, and it's great. So go over and check it out, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast. Hey, everybody. Before I start today's podcast, I just want to give you a heads up. Coach Griffin basically kind of went in and out. He was nice enough to come on the podcast, but was in the car. He was a busy man and was kind of cutting out a little bit in and out. So I am going to leave it because I think there's so many great golden nuggets. Not this doesn't happen a lot in the podcast, but I just want to give you a heads up that there will be a little bit of cutting in and cutting out from him. I tried to fill that space with some of my talk, but I just want to give you a heads up. It is not you. You know, we're going to be patient with Coach because I know how busy he is. And like I said, there's so many great things inside the podcast. I definitely want to leave the podcast in as it was so we can get all those great golden nuggets. So I hope you enjoy this and have a great day. All right. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Coach and I, before we were jumping on, we were reminiscing about Coach Ryan, and trust me, I've heard all those I have a couple players that have played for Coach Ryan, and Keaton's probably the most notorious, most recognized, but I've heard all those, the Philadelphia stories from Coach Ryan always kind of circle back.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a renowned human being in the basketball world, but specifically to the area that we are in. For a number of different reasons, but I mean, he's a blue collar guy, and I know he brought that to Wisconsin, and that's
always
how
I think he always went to the Jersey Shores for his vacations too. I've heard Jersey Shore stories too.
Yeah, Jersey Shore is a popular area, and during his, you know, wonder years, so to say, he was probably mixing it up
I'm sure he was. Anyway, so Coach Griffin, I'm gonna have you kind of introduce yourself and then kind of walk us through your kind of basketball journey. And I'll just jump in. I've got lots of questions for you. Okay. But I'm going to turn it over to you and kind of introduce yourself to the audience and kind of tell us about your basketball journey.
Okay, great. Now, I appreciate you having me on here. I'm a coach's son. I was kind of born into the world of college basketball. My father was a head coach at Siena College in 1980 to 85. I have a younger brother. My younger brother actually currently is an assistant coach at Albany University.
Okay.
He was the head coach in high school at Roman Catholic for 5 years.
And Siena, what was Siena in when your dad was? What conference were they in? Are they still in the same conference?
I feel like Siena was in the ECAC.
I think it was too.
That's what I feel like the league they were in at the time. And he's got a number.
What are they in now?
They're in the MAC conference.
They're in the MAC. Okay. I was going to say Patriot, but that's not right. The MAC. Okay.
No,
okay.
They're in the MAC. So born into the business, moved to Philadelphia at a young age. My father went from being the head coach to Siena. He is kind of a unique story in coaching, which has actually played a part in my kind of at least philosophical approach to the business. He got out of the business, worked on Wall Street for a couple of years, and then returned to his alma mater at St. Joe's University, which is where I work. From 1990 to 95, he was the head coach in Philadelphia, and that's where I basically grew up. Majority of my life was spent in Philadelphia, Philadelphia native. And that's where I kind of began my basketball journey. So high school, I played for a guy named William Speedy Morris. Speedy Morris is another well-known Bo Ryan-like basketball coach that is widely recognized for a number of different successes, but had an unbelievable experience playing for him. He actually, and this is the just craziness of basketball, how everything is just so intimate and small within the world of hoops. He coached my father at Roman Catholic, and then he coached me in high school, and then he coached my younger brother in high school. Had a really great experience for him, which was a great feat. Another well-known basketball coach, Pat Flannery, who was, again, similar to Bill Ryan, they both kind of cut their teeth in Division III and made their mark and then had great success going forward. But at Bucknell, I walked into a really unique situation for the Patriot League. We had talent combined with height, size, athleticism, and we figured out a couple things in the first year, my freshman year, to the point where we won the Patriot League Championship and beat Kansas and 14 versus 3 seed, and it kind of just started this four-year unbelievable path at Bucknell. The next year, we lost to Wisconsin, unfortunately, that year versus Kansas, but the next year, we finished top 25 in the country, which is a unique feat for a Patriot League school. We were 9 seed in the
NCAA tournament. There's not many. Maybe Colgate, huh? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, maybe. With a Donald Foyle, what might have been the best years outside of that. And David Robinson, Navy's in the Patriot League now.
Right.
Oh, did you say Colgate? You said Colgate or Navy?
Well, I said Colgate, right? Didn't Colgate have
Colgate.
A little run there? Yeah.
They had a little run. After us, it was C.J. McCollum at Lehigh. And actually at Bucknell, we have a kid. We had a guy named Mike Muscala who's still playing in the NBA. But we were 9 seed. We beat Arkansas. We ended up playing Memphis the following year. Memphis was a 1 seed, and they were a juggernaut. Could not defend the dribble drive of John Calipari's Memphis offense. Right. But had a really unbelievable basketball experience at a just – highly academic institution, which was just a great combination for me and set me on this path towards playing basketball for as long as I could. Ended up playing professionally for 3 seasons. I tore my ACL after the first and tried to figure it out instead of getting into the working world. But ultimately ended up my first coaching job with the Indiana Pacers.
So before you jump into your coaching job, where did you play professionally?
So my first year, I played in Germany, played in a small town in Baden-Württemberg, and then tore my ACL, and then returned 9 months later to Bratislava, Slovakia. And then actually, I went through the video coordinator year with the Indiana Pacers, and the NBA went into a lockout. And actually, it's a question that a lot of people ask me about my career timeline. Why wouldn't you have stayed in the NBA? Well, when there's a lockout, and I learned this kind of the hard way, usually the support staff, at least at the time, kind of got cut loose until the season restarted.
Right.
And so I was still fairly young. I was in shape, fit, and still had this goal of mine to keep playing and try to make it a career as a professional basketball player. And so then I went to England, and 7 months later, I actually finished my career in Italy. And at that point, I just exhausted the idea of playing mentally. So that's when I moved forward towards the next step.
I tell people, it's like you always kind of know when it's time to hang up. Most people know, at least. But you kind of know when it's time to hang up those sneakers.
It's challenging. I have this conversation with as many European professional basketball players that I possibly can have with that will listen to me, because it's an identity shift. And even in the world of basketball, nobody fully understands what it means to be a professional basketball player in Europe.
Right.
And that's a hard pill to swallow as a player, because it's who you've been and who you are, and you're proud of that, but it doesn't really mean much, or as much as you might think in the working world. So I try to give that at least lens and experience and perspective to as many professionals that are still playing as possible, because at some point you have to get yourself mentally prepared to shift gears.
And I can see it from some of my guys, like Vander. Vander had a taste of the Lakers and, you know, a couple contracts, and he's been chasing it for 10 years. It's like,
since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
It's so hard. It is, because it is who you are, like, in some respects. It's like,
it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You've spent so much time trying to reach this goal that you put on a pedestal, but it's also a lifestyle. I mean, you have people rebounding for you, essentially. Even, I mean, in these days now, you have multiple rebounders for you.
Right.
And then there's a life shift where you become the rebounder.
Right.
Right. And not everyone's ready for that.
Right. And I think it's even hard, you know, I think it's even hard, unless you're Charles Barkley, you know, all these guys, you got to come up, you know, Magic obviously made a really good pivot, but there's a lot of, it's hard. And the thing is, it's like, you have all this money, but then you better find something to do with it. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Even for the NBA guys, I can see it.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need some guidance. It's always helpful if somebody's giving you advice if you're able to listen at the time when you get it. But if you get advice and you find some way to be productive that's non-basketball related, it won't be that large of an identity shift, but that's challenging within the moment. Like
it
anything.
Is, it is. And it's, there's the good ones are so laser focused that it's hard to see outside that tunnel. From the players that I've coached that have played professionally, that shift is hard. Once they find it, it's not too bad, but it's hard. That shift is hard. All right. Let's go through your, okay. Your playing career, we're done. Then what happened?
So, I spent a year with the Indiana Pacers as a video coordinator intern, and it's the perfect segue, because this was a complete identity change for me. I went from somebody that thought that they should have been playing in the NBA, which I shouldn't have, but that was my mentality at the time, to the lowest person on the totem pole in essentially the organization on the coaching staff side. And it was humbling from day one, humbling. And I had responsibilities that I thought maybe at one point in time were beneath me, and they weren't. And it was an unbelievable, looking back, it was arguably the best experience, something that I rely on pretty regularly, actually, for me individually. But that was my first taste of coaching in general. Just happened to be on the professional level. And so from there, I get this master's degree, I guess you could call it, in coaching. And I made it through the year. And like I said, the NBA goes into a lockout. And then I get very lucky that there's a university within 40 miles of Philadelphia, Rider University, which is in the MAC conference. They just had a coaching change. And anybody that's listening to this call, they know that the hiring element of college basketball coaching, actually, quite frankly, coaching in general in this day and age, high school, college, and professional, is so competitive. And your network is so critical to at least getting a conversation surrounding the idea of being hired. I was very fortunate I had one.
It's crazy. Like, before we came on the air, I was telling you about my son who's going to a little Ivy in the NASDAQ.
Yep.
And when he was looking at schools, like, Vassar just hired a former D1 coach, Connecticut College. All these D3s are hiring all these former, and it's not like they got fired from the D1. It's like, all right, I'm moving down from an assistant to, you know, a head at a D3. Now, these are good academic schools and they're great schools, but
yeah,
you know,
they
that
are
was
great
not
schools.
Happening 30 years ago. Like,
no,
that just
no,
wasn't, you know.
it's actually, yeah, and it's multiplied exponentially in that regard, because finding opportunities to be a head coach are just as competitive as it's ever been.
Right. Yeah.
So I was very fortunate. I was hired at Rider as the director of basketball operations, which is another experience I rely on, because the director of basketball operations learns the ins and outs of a basketball program. You get to, whether it's your first time doing it or you've been doing it for a number of years, you have, you know, the heartbeat of your program, the ins and outs, how it runs. You're basically figuring out how to keep the train moving.
Right. Do you think that is, like, on a food chain, is that above video coordinate? It's above video, isn't it? Basketball operations is above
video.
Yeah,
I mean, it depends. It really depends on how your head coach views his staff. Philosophically, what he does on a day-to-day basis. Yes, I think they're both equally important.
Right, right.
Depending on how much film the head coach tends to watch on a day-to-day basis, the video coordinator position could be incredibly important to the program and to the head coach. But at the same time, the logistics of the program, if the head coach feels that there are elements that are really important when it comes to day-to-day logistics that are more maybe important than the video stuff, then the director of operations is, it all depends.
But they're limited by the NCAA too, right? They're limited at some of the stuff they can do.
They are. When it comes to on-court teaching, they're limited. Now, that I think will change, and I think the COVID situation has really put the idea of opening the door to these positions having the ability to get on the floor. It actually makes sense, because majority of those positions are starting points for aspiring coaches. And it's, if we're all here to help the players and kids get better, I think it does make sense.
I do too. In so many ways. I agree. So what happened after that? After that job?
So I was there. I was at Rider for 3 years. Basketball world, I was very from the position to an assistant coach that it doesn't happen as often as one may think, and so that really was a big boost for me. I spent 2 more years.
And it's probably because he's in his car.
Hired at my alma mater, they had a coaching change as well. And first child, so Lewisburg compared to, and now I'm sorry.
I did.
Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on. Steve, it's okay. It's no.
Sorry about that.
No. You're probably going in and out. Trust me, it's fine. It's I've done like 1,300 of these. It's very common when people are driving.
You're kind of
doing this like in and out thing a little bit.
We just went over a bridge.
Yeah. You probably got to
just went over a bridge.
You probably, if anybody knows anything about cellular service tends to be, they trying to put the towers in the tallest spots. But the waves got to basically bounce off. So, definitely when I've done podcasts in the past and people have been in their cars, it is definitely an in and out. So I'm going to summarize what Coach was basically saying is he got promoted, which doesn't happen very often. It's just one of those things that doesn't happen on a regular basis, I'm guessing, from a basketball operation standpoint.
Well, it all depends on the environment. So I'm just a person that's very observant, and I'm very appreciative of that opportunity. So, but it allowed me to then progress in my career. So Bucknell as a coaching change. It's a very close place to my heart, my experience. And Nathan Davis, who's the head coach now, asked if I'd be interested. And long story short, yes, we get there. Spent four great years at Bucknell. We won the Patriot League regular season four straight years and won the Patriot League championship too. And it, for me, going back to my alma mater, there's a lot of people there that when you're a college student, you're not sure if you're going to get the opportunity to go back and really express the gratitude for how they treated you when you were 18 to 20 years old. And here I was able to do it on a day-to-day basis as well as help build the program and help the program be successful. And it wasn't that hard because Dave Paulson left us some really good basketball players. And right, that's always a positive.
So then we ended up at
St. Joe's.
Okay.
Yep.
And how did that happen?
Well, St. Joe's, they also made a coaching change. And being from Philadelphia, I have three children, three boys. My entire family is in Philadelphia. So the opportunity to get home was a big.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachups.com, go over, join, 14-day free trial, and then stop the car. Subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right. Maybe. Have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.